Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Absolute honor. You know it is an absolute honor that you have joined this particular platform that celebrates you. Industry heroes, that's who you are. We celebrate you, the companies that get it done, because you are bold. You're brave, you dare greatly, you solve freaking problems, and you innovate like nobody's business. You're changing lives and you're changing the world. That is why this platform is for you. It's a doggone industrial celebration. How about that? All right. And I say it every time. Great interview. Absolutely great interview, because industry's wonderful people. They're full of wonderful people with big hearts. This gentleman's by the name is Larry Olson. He's with a company called Pacavi, and we're going to be talking a little bit about supply chain and logistics and everything that's going on. He brings the lumber. Let's get a crack in here. All right. Before we get going with the interview, got a couple of things that's on my mind. And one of the thing is, okay, you know that the Industrial Talk, industrialtalk.com, is dedicated to education, right? It is. It just is. If you go to industrialtalk.com, and you'll see all of the individuals that are within industry that are just passionate about your education. That's what we're about, right? And I've had conversations upon conversation. Hey, Scott, how can I find the right person with the right skills and listen to what they have to say about a challenge or a problem I'm dealing with? And then how can I reach out to them? Fear not. Industry Talk 2.0 is right around the corner. And what we're going to be doing is we're going to be creating a landing page. And that landing page is as simple as any, filterable. How about that? And I can find the individual for the industry and their capability, plus everything about them on their landing page. You can listen to them. You can do everything that you ever want. And then reach out and solve problems, because it's about collaboration. That's what that's about. And it's about innovation. Big, big time. All right. Another thing. I want you to get your paper and pencil out. That's right. I'll wait just a few seconds. Paper and pencil out. We've got an event. And it is sponsored by the Pacavi. And you're saying to yourself, Scott, you mentioned that company's name. Yeah, that's right. And we're going to be talking to Larry Olson. So this is an event, and I'm going to have it out on industrialtalk.com. I'll have that link. Everything's all right there. The event is called How to Master the Challenges of the Never-Ending Peak in Logistics. You know what's interesting about it? As I go out to that landing page and I'm looking at the speakers, and it's not that much of a time commitment. Come on! And we get people that are just mad about delivering value. Oh, look at it. It's like the best technology baseball team I've ever seen. By the way, I just published Yoav Kuttner's, he's the founder and CEO of Oro Inc.'s podcast on this particular platform. That's real time, baby. All right, Larry. There you go. How are you doing?
Yeah, doing well, Scott. How you doing?
I'm well. Yeah, no. I'm excited about this particular event out there. So once again, listener, it's going to be out on Industrial Talk. It's going to be slapped against Larry Olson's podcast landing page. So you can find Larry and this incredible event, which is March 11th, 2021. Calendar, put it on there. Oh, wait a minute. Hang tight. What is CET? See, the agenda is at 4CET. That is. What is that?
I think it's a time zone.
It is, but I got the Central Standard Time. It's not Central Standard Time. Don't look at the CET. Don't look at that. Don't.
Yeah, the CET is for our European counterparts.
There you go. If you're in Europe, which this is a global platform, if you're in Europe, the time is there for you. But it's only just a little over an hour commitment. Learning from the best of the best right there. Hell, I'd do it. I think I've already done it. All right, for the listeners out there, Larry, come on. Give us a little 411 on who you are, because I've looked at your stat card out there, and I'm pretty excited about this doggone interview. Talk to us.
Yeah, Scott. So, yeah, as you said, senior sales manager for Picavi here in the U.S. branch. Prior to that, worked 25 years or so in the 3PL industry for a global 3PL provider. So, a lot of background and experience from the 3PL and warehousing supply chain.
I got to interrupt right now. You're saying 3PO?
3PL, yeah.
3PL.
Third-party logistics.
There you go. Thank you.
That's a Star Wars reference.
No. Don't acronym the hell out of our listeners. They're making them work too hard. Okay, third-party logistics.
Yeah, there you go.
Continue, my friend.
So then joined the Picavi team here in this great product we're going to talk about today for warehouse.
It is cool. Now, listeners out there, it's PICAVI. Picavi is the name. And it's pretty cool because we're talking about wearables for logistics, right?
Correct. Yeah. Wearable device. It covers a large gamut of devices. I mean, everything from headsets to glasses to even, you know, some of the ergonomic wearables you're talking. So there are even specific conferences related directly to wearables.
Yeah. So what's the problem? What is this? I know the problem. I feel the problem. But let's explain to the listeners what the problem is. And let's start right there. What are you trying to solve?
Yep. So we're really focused within the warehouse operations. We all know the term, you know, supply chain. It covers kind of a gamut of everything from you placing an order to you getting product delivered, whether you're, you know, residential, commercial, et cetera, right? It's all a supply chain process. So within the warehouse, you have people whose jobs, right, are to take what you ordered, go find it within that warehouse, pick the right quantity, pick the right material, get it put into a box and then shipped out to you. So we're really solving for that person and that process, really trying to simplify or oversimplify their process from a training standpoint and then just from an overall use standpoint. I mean, it's, you know, the products you look at in the industry, they have to be ergonomic. They have to be, you know, relative to, you know, from a cost standpoint, relative to what the activities are and the people using them, they have to be, you know, comfortable. They have to be easy to use, right? So that's, you know, as we see as electronics are evolving here, all that's coming into play, you know, lighter weight, smaller, easier to use.
See, and my recent experience was not good in the world of supply chain logistics. Whatever I was ordering online, it's easy for them to take my money, but then through this whole customer service thing, I'm just telling you, you want that, right? Because customers have this outrageous expectation, thank you Amazon, for delivering things in one day, thank you Amazon, and our expectations are very high. And really, I think a lot of this has to be solved through technology like wearables.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's both the efficiency, as you alluded to, right? It's how fast can we get it, and then it's the accuracy of it. It's, I mean, just because I get it fast, if I get the wrong thing fast, I'm still not happy.
I agree with you 100% on that one, because I received something and it wasn't accurate, and I'm still upset. In fact, I was so upset my ears started. No, it didn't. I was going to say my ears started bleeding. So now I can sit there and say, okay, I've got an order. This wearable looks like glasses. Am I right?
Correct. Yeah, it's a device just like you and I are wearing glasses here. Very, very similar. And in fact, it can attach to prescription glasses for, you know, it's a common question, right? How do you, you know, if I take these off, can I really still see it? I can. Some people need a corrective lens, right, to see it. But that's pretty typical of a lot of people, right? You look at the number of glasses wearers out there. But yeah,
so,
it's a glass.
Yeah.
Wear it on your head, yeah.
So let's walk through a use case, a scenario. I get online, I order a part. That goes into whatever company I ordered from.
Yep.
And then it goes into whatever system they have. Take us through that.
Yep, so it goes into the system they have. So that system, if you look at what they're doing today, they're probably picking with either paper. That's kind of the basic process. I mean, that still happens.
Really? Really?
It happens, yep. So, I mean, you got to think, there's companies out there, you know, small, very small companies all the way up to, you know, super large companies. You mentioned Amazon, probably the biggest, right? So So there's paper, there's what we call an RF gun. So it's a handheld device, right? Yeah. A handheld computer that's providing instruction to the person. Or, you know, I'd say one of the technologies came out 20, 25 years ago was voice, where a system would actually talk to the person and tell them where to go and what to get, et cetera. So each one of those over time has been an advancement. Now we have this advancement of glass. It's kind of pooling all of that together. So you have a visual where you really just have almost a computer screen floating in the air in front of you. So it's called assisted reality. So it's not virtual reality, which I think, you know, most people probably know the term. Virtual reality is you're consumed within the environment, right? You're wearing goggles and you don't want anybody walking, you know, too far a distance, they can't see anything. They tend to run into things. So you have augmented reality, which is overlay of images on what you're seeing. And you probably have seen this, and you know, your phone will do it. Your phone has a camera on it. You have, I believe Home Depot I've seen do it. I've seen some furniture stores where they say, oh, you're interested in this product, see it in your room. And you hold your camera up in your room and it places the product in your room. That's augmented reality, right? It's an overlay. And then you have assisted reality, which is what we're talking through here. It's more of a screen presentation to the person, providing them with relevant information. It's got, you know, really anything and everything you can put on the screen. Pictures of the product. Here's a picture of the product you need to pick. Here's a description of the product. Here's a view of the 10 locations in front of you and which location to pick the product from. Here's when you pick that product, if you need to put it in one of four boxes because you're working four orders at one time, it tells you can pinpoint them to which box to put it in. So all this visual cue, then there's audio cues. You still have the spoken. It's, you know, these units have speakers in them. They have microphones in them. It's essentially a cell phone, the functionality of your cell phone, but a wearable device on your head.
I had to giggle there for a second. It's like, hey, don't put that part. That's not where it goes. Put it in the right spot. Is that the type of the verbal commands does it give?
Yeah. No, it's not quite that crude.
It would be funny to say, whoa, what are you doing? What are you thinking about? Now, so that's cool. That's all great. What's the benefit? Why is that cool? I mean, it's cool, but why?
Yeah, so we talked, we've talked about the quality aspect, obviously, right? The benefit really comes to the end customer. And it's the end customer and the company, right? Because if the end customer isn't happy, that comes back against the company. And if, you know, too much of that, and you're going to lose that customer. Nobody wants that, right? So you have the quality aspect of it. It's one benefit. I'd say a second benefit is the productivity, and we're all about productivity now, right? So doing things better, quicker, and cheaper. So the faster we can pick that part and get it out. So if I have a handheld device, in this hand, and I need to use both hands to pick something, I got to set that down first before I can pick it up. And I got to remember to pick this back up because this thing's telling me the next thing to do. So you're hands-free with this device. So we use it's a wrist scanner. It's worn on the back of your hand. So that's Bluetooth connected. Bluetooth, you know, very common, obviously, but that scanner Bluetooth connected. So you don't have a device in your hand. You see your screen in front of your face. You have a scanner on the back of your hand. Your hands are, you're able to use your hands freely at will. I'd say the third aspect, and this is pretty common in the industry, is there's a lot of turnover in this industry. So there's seasonal labor and there's a lot, believe it or not, a lot of turnover. So the training time, and whenever we're seeing 50 to 60% reduction in training time. So whenever a person, you know, leaves, or, you know, maybe they weren't a good performer for us, and I now have to replace that worker. Whenever they come in, a 50 to 60% reduction in training time to where I get them in the operation and they're a productive worker for me. That's a huge benefit.
That's huge. That's bottom line value. But I think the biggest part is the customer satisfaction.
Yep.
That's money. That's money. If you're ticking people off, not delivering the products that they need at the right time and the right amount, whatever it might be, that's money. So let's say more and more people, let's just lay it out there, more and more people are using and getting online, purchasing online, doing the things online and making making decisions online, whatever. It's everything's online right now. How does the tool, how does the product, how does the solution deal with returns?
So, yeah, it's a good question. So that, you know, it's not, people don't always return material just because you shipped them the wrong thing. You know, they typically ask you when you're processing your return. It may just be, it's as easy as, I don't want or need this anymore, so I'm returning it to you. So that returns process, when the material comes in, it's a very similar process. It's reverse logistics, right? It's the reverse of what we just did. We picked product and sent it to the customer. Now the product's coming back from that customer. So we can use, you know, use glasses as part of that process too, to process that material. We can show on the screen, right, what was the material that was supposed to be returned? Because the person said, you know, I bought a ball, but I returned you a stick. So just because they, you know, there was something in the box that came back, you know, that whole logistics process, that's a process in its own.
Yeah, but does it create greater accuracy? Because that's inventory. I mean, that's
correct.
There's a lot of other financials, the refunds, and whatever it might be, and the validation that the ball is returned and not a stick, right? There's a lot of other stuff. The glasses, the wearable, takes care of that.
Helps with the accuracy, especially when you can put the picture of the product on there, right? So that's really what we're driving here, is the visual aspect of it, and it becomes a matching game for a person, right? Where I see one thing physically, I see another thing here on the screen that's in front of me. If the two don't match, then I know I have an issue. If they match, then I know. So again, we're trying to simplify the process as much as we can.
So is the price point in the right? I mean, if I'm a small company, this seems pretty doggone sophisticated. Are you agnostic to, let's say, your inventory management system? I mean, do you have your APIs that sort of link it together and do all the stuff?
Correct. Yeah, I would say most companies run what you call a warehouse management system, right? That's managing the flow of material in and out of the warehouse. So really, I would say we're agnostic to any of those systems, even a paper-based system.
Because if
you think of a paper-based system, it's data. It's just being data. It's data that's being sent to a printer that then comes out on hard copy. You can take that same data that's sent to the printer and send it to something like this visual unit, and then visualize the data for the person versus printing it out on a piece of paper.
So you pretty much, but from a price point perspective, is there? I mean, you can get it in line with, let's say, my financials in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, so I'd say, so we'd run a lot of ROIs, obviously, for different companies, right, as we're exploring this. I'd say 10, you know, our proof of concept starts at 10, and we'll have some companies that maintain that at 10. So if you have 10 pickers, right, or 10 users within a warehouse that are doing some type of activity, it's kind of the baseline entry point. And that is pretty small, right? That's a small ROI.
It is. It absolutely is. Now, I have to be the, I have to bring this up. Sounds great. What are the pushbacks? Outside of the fact that you better not lose those pair of glasses or break them, or, you know, the classics, is like the human thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, the materials we use in the warehouse, I mean, obviously paper doesn't have a lot of value to it, but the RF units, right, those are handheld computers. There's value to them. There's value to these glasses. So, yeah, I mean, taking care of them, I mean, you are... As much as you and I don't drop these glasses on the ground and break them or step on them, even though accidents always happen, right? But it's not very common, right? You treat them like you would almost your prescription glasses or a good pair of sunglasses. So that kind of takes care of that aspect.
The pushback. I mean, it's like, it's not always pink elephants and. You know, cotton candy. What's the pushback? Because it's a great value.
Yeah, it's newer technology, right? So I think the ergonomics of it, and the concept of a person being able to see that screen out in front of them, that's something completely new and different to a lot of people. So, you know, everybody uses cell phones today. So I think that aspect of the technology, you know, that's the easy one to overcome. I think once they get used to the ergonomics, you know, seeing something here in front of my face, because that's, you and I don't, we don't have things, right? We have our computers here in front of us, and, you know, we do that on a daily basis, but doing that while you're walking around, it takes a little bit of getting used to, but trust me, once people get used to it, that they never go back.
Yeah. I can see how that be the case. Now, let me ask you one last question here. Where's it going in the future? I mean, I'll be the first to explain. I love technology. I love innovation. I love all of this stuff. I love the thinking around it and all of the great things that are taking place. Now, where do you see this stuff going?
Yeah, so it's a good question because, I mean, we're only about 4.5-5 years into this product development. That's pretty early. And we as a company are still inventing things, right? The ability to, you know, maybe not have to attach it to glasses, but a way to where I can wear my own glasses and see the screen in front of me. So there's I'd say the thing I'm most excited about, there are a lot of sensors in the unit that we haven't taken advantage of. So just like your phone can tell you how many steps a day you've taken, how many stairs you've climbed, et cetera, et cetera. So there's sensors within that unit that we can start evaluating ergonomics and safety, et cetera, with that unit. So taking advantage of the data, and it's a lot of data, right, that's got to spit out of those sensors, but then formulating that and making better decisions based on that.
See, that is where it's going. You're gonna do your own little data transformation, data journey, whatever, digital this, digital that, Industry 4.0. And I've had a number of conversations with companies that are from a safety perspective.
Yep.
And you know, there are people that don't really care about the fact that, you know, Big Brother's watching me, but it is a pretty important thing. If I know that you're out on the field or in the warehouse or wherever you're at, I know that you're there. I mean, there's just a ton of, I mean, you got the tech on your head.
That's pretty cool. Yep.
Pretty doggone cool. Now, are you active out there on LinkedIn?
Absolutely. Yeah, big LinkedIn user.
All right.
You can find me and our company out there.
But, I mean, come on. There's probably a handful of Larry Olsons out there.
Yeah,
Picavi, baby. That's what you do. You type in Larry. You type in Larry Olson, comma that thing. Type in Picavi, which is P-I-C-A-V-I. I guarantee you, you'll see that guy flowing head of hair with a guy that's got some wearables on it. Pretty doggone cool. I love this stuff. Larry, you were absolutely, and I love this particular product. I love what you're talking about. That's an exciting time. Thank you very much for being on the Industrial Talk Podcast. All right, listeners, you know we're going to have another incredible interview right around the corner. And once again, do not say, hey, Scott, I'm trying to get a hold of Larry. Don't come to me. Go to industrialtalk.com, right? Go to industrialtalk.com, find his podcast, and everything else about him will be out on his landing page. His special landing page, because that's how we roll here on Industrial Talk. All right, listeners, we'll be back with another great interview just around the corner. Larry, you take care.
Yep. Thank you, Scott.
All right. Thank you, listeners. We will be back shortly.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.